us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Taco Tuesday in Brevard County. I don't think I've ever called it Taco Tuesday here, but man, do I love tacos. In case I've never told you before, Mexican food is my favorite food group. I could eat it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I would look much different than I do now, but I do love Mexican food, and I don't know what that has to do with anything, but anyway, it's Tuesday here in Brevard County. You know, sometimes you got to do things just to keep it a little bit different. But I will tell you this, we had an evangelist that was with us a week or so ago, and the day he flew in, I gave him choice of what he wanted to eat. He said, man, I love Mexican food. So I took him to a Mexican restaurant. We were trying to go to another restaurant that night. Couldn't find a parking spot there. Man, the economy is so bad that the restaurants are just hard to get into right now. I said, well, there's another restaurant right across the street, but it's Mexican food again. He said, brother, you don't have to worry about me. I love Mexican food. So we had Mexican food twice, and we avoided a Mexican for the next couple of meals. But anyway, happy Tuesday to you. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. You're listening to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE, and we are talking about the glorious concept of forgiveness, being forgiven and practicing forgiveness. And so we're going to be in the book of 1 John today. I want to remind you about our new Wednesday night format that is going on. We've got our adult Bible study, and then we're going to be having youth ministry in our fellowship hall. And so they've got some wonderful things planned for that. That is going to begin tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. And there's going to be pizza involved and all sorts of stuff. I don't know what it is about youth and pizza, but it seems to be a combination that works very, very well together. I don't eat that much pizza anymore. You know, I've eaten my fair share. I will say that. So anyway, that's coming up tomorrow night. If that can be a blessing to your teenagers, we'd love to have them come and be a part of that. Wednesday night at 7, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. So there's a lot of exciting things that are going on. There's some spiritual expectancy that is going on in Brevard County in Central Florida right now. I want to encourage you that if you've been around a long time and you've been praying for God to have a move of His Spirit and see souls saved in Brevard County, I want you to know that that's on the horizon. I believe God's got great plans for His kingdom in Brevard County. I do want you to know that Central Florida is being used as the launching pad in February, February 23rd, so a little over a month from today, for something called the Send. There's going to be a convergence of a lot of different types of ministry going on, and that particular event, you have to have tickets to get into it. You can go to thesend.org, I believe it is, and it's going to be a Camping World Stadium free event, but it does require a ticket. And this particular event is designed to be a mobilization of the body of Christ. And there are some regional prayer gatherings that are coming up, some on Sundays and some on Wednesdays. You can find out about some of those things by going to the Send website and finding out about them. There's one in Satellite Beach. There's another in Titusville. And I think one of them September 3rd. The other, I think, might be February the 3rd versus February the 13th, I believe it is. So you can go to their website and confirm those details. I'm planning on being at that event because I don't know about you, but if there's lots of people that are going to be saved, I want to be in on that, because God is in the forgiving business. That's what we're talking about today. So I want to take you to the book of 1 John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2. Verse number 7 says, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." I like that it is something that is true in Christ, it's true in God, and it is true in us as well. "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes." Verse number 12. "I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one." So as we're talking about forgiveness here, we need to realize that it is impossible for us to say that we love God and then hate our brother, hate another human being. It's the two statements are incompatible. One disqualifies the other. And so I just want to open this broadcast today and ask the Holy Spirit to make sure that there is no one in our past that the enemy has found a safe place to hide them, to where we are despising them and hating them more than we love God. The love for that we have for God naturally flows through us to affect the way that we treat one another. It changes our outlook on them. We realize that people who are dead in their trespasses and sins, that they are blinded by the God of this age, to where they cannot see the truth. And I will tell you that when that my mindset is this: whenever a person is being controlled by something that is beyond their control, it changes the way that I look at them. Okay? And so if a person was on a train, I'm just going to use this as an illustration. If it breaks down, don't hate me for it. If a person is on a train and that train is running out of control, this person's not the conductor of the train, they're not the engineer of the train, they're a passenger on the train. The train is taking them to a destination, and something horrible happens on that train, I'm not going to look at that passenger and hold them personally responsible for something that was beyond their control. I'm not going to hate them. So I want you to realize that many of the people in this world, they're being controlled by the forces of darkness. Their behavior is influenced by that, controlled by that. And so we need to realize that they are just a created human being that is in desperate need of forgiveness. Okay? And I have seen people forgive things that I know it had to be supernatural that they forgave, because the hurt, the pain, the offense was monumental. I want you to understand that when we are talking about forgiveness, we are not talking about the magnitude of the hurt, because it can be very real. What we are talking about is found here in verse number 12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. So forgiveness isn't because the hurt was insignificant, because it didn't bring pain. My sins are forgiven and your sins are forgiven because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven for the glory of God. Jesus is magnified because my sins are forgiven. Every time that a sinner repents, the heavens rejoice. I tell you, it is because of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is for the glory of God. Every time Christ's blood triumphs over sin and forgiveness is extended, the name of Jesus is praised. Heaven throws a celebration. Okay? I don't remember exactly what day it was, but I do remember that very early in my life, I became the source of a divine celebration when I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins and be the Lord of my life. And all of a sudden, the band started playing, the heavens started rejoicing because a sinner had received the forgiveness of God for the sake of Jesus' name. Praise God. Okay, that's awesome. It wasn't because of me. It was because I was just a sinner. I was just a professional sinner like everybody else. My sin was probably different than your sin, but it was sin nonetheless. I can remember some things that I've done. I can remember some lies that I told when I was in school. I can remember a candy bar that I stole at a grocery store, and my mother found out about it. And believe me, forgiveness from God was something I wanted, and I really wish that it had come with a freedom from some reinforcements of not desiring to steal anymore. But you know what? I don't want to steal. In fact, my a week ago, there was a pastor that was shot and killed, and I believe it was in Mississippi. He was opening his church on Sunday morning, and there was a group of men that decided they were going to rob him. And I was talking with my office manager about that, and I said, "That's a dumb plan." I mean, I'm praying for the pastor's family, the church, and the community. That's a horrible thing to have to go through. But I was like, those people are not smart criminals. I said, who in their right mind thinks that you can rob from God and that you're going to get away from it? That you're going to get away, with it. It's just not. But I will tell you this. God in his mercy is able to do for those men what he did for Saul after he was there endorsing the first martyr of the church. He was standing there giving consent. He was watching the clothes of the people who were throwing the stones. And he was zealously persecuting the church. And God said, I've got a better plan for you. I'd like you to have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so when Paul describes that forgiveness is available, he does so with the realization that he considered himself to be the chiefest of sinners, and God was able to forgive him. So when John writes here that we are forgiven for his name's sake, that is a tremendous, tremendous accolade. I mean, it's like it takes a negative, it takes the focus off of the curse, and it puts it on the praise and the worship that Jesus is due. But it is not just my forgiveness that I've received that is for his name's sake. It is the fact that I can extend forgiveness for the sake of his name that empowers me and emboldens me to be able to forgive the person that may have done great harm or injury to me. You might not be able to do it for your flesh. You know, we talked recently about sending it away, and no matter how many times it comes back, you just keep sending it away. You say, okay, what do I have to do to make sure that this package that I don't want, I don't have a claim to it, it doesn't belong to me, it keeps finding its way back into my life. How do I get that to stop? I'm going to share a truth in the coming days about a great reality that will help us to be empowered to walk in greater forgiveness. But one of the things is if my mind keeps remembering it, my spirit can keep sending it away. And the more that I send it away and say, God, I don't want this, I'm going to continue to be proactive. And I will tell you that for those people who've wounded me, one of the greatest sources of strength in order to manifest forgiveness in my life the way my spirit wants to forgive them was to begin to pray for God to bless them. You know, when someone has hurt you and you're wanting them to pay for it, you constantly are reminded of the hurt. But when you realize that you can extend forgiveness and God's going to get the glory out of that, Jesus is going to be exalted, all of a sudden you can say, oh man, I pray God that you bless them in Jesus. Because isn't the reality of what we're living all about bringing glory and honor to Jesus? The Bible says, whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. If I can't do it because of my flesh, if I can't do it because of my emotions, what I need to do is subject those things to the dominion of Christ and say, I can do it for the glory of Christ. I can do it for his glory. I remember hearing a person, and they were talking about a situation that they faced in their life, and they was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And finally, God at some point in time said, would you do it for me? Would you do it for me? And all of a sudden, they said, I will do it for you. I will do it because you ask me to. You're God. You're my God. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. And even though my flesh doesn't want to do it, even though my mind doesn't want to do it, my emotions don't want to do it, I will do it for you. And I will tell you, if I can just go back a little bit to pre-missions trip, my flesh did not want to go on that missions trip. Even though I wanted to in the past, this wasn't my ideal timing. It wasn't my ideal plan. I wanted to go in the summertime here instead of the summertime there. There were just some things that were going on, had nothing to do with them. It had bearings to do with me, and my flesh didn't want to go. I was invited to go, and I was praying, but I was pretty resolved to not going. And then there were some things that happened that it became evident that I was supposed to go. And I still didn't know all of the plans. In fact, you know, the plans changed once we got in country. But when I saw the signs were there that I was supposed to go, even though my flesh, my mind still had not embraced going yet, what I did was I said this: my spirit realizes that the answer to this question, should I go, is yes, God wants me to go. And so I will say yes because God wants me to say yes. And my mind, my will, and my emotions, my physical, my carnal nature, it's going to come along. My flesh is going to follow my spirit, not my spirit follow my flesh's leading. And I can tell you that I ended up seeing tremendous, tremendous blessings, saw things that I'd never seen before, was tremendously impacted by the trip because I said, you know what, God, I will do it for Jesus' sake. I will do it for the glory of God. And I want to encourage you that same motivation will empower you to forgive. Okay? A lot of times we look at the will of God and we say, God, what is it that you want me to do? But we could also approach the will of God from the opposite perspective, and that is, God, what don't you want me to do? And I can tell you that God does not want us holding on to hurt and pain and wounds of the past. He wants us to forgive people. And the best way to do that is to say, God, I am going to do this just like I do everything else in life. I want to do it for the glory of Christ. When you go to work today, it is biblical to approach your job from a sense of worship. My wife last year had a revelation from the word, from her Bible study in the Word of God. She encountered a word I'd never heard, and she said the word for work and the word for worship, that it's the same concept, it's the same principle. And so she shared that. And so when she goes to work, it is an act of worship for her. When you go to work today, it will be an act of worship. When you are assigned that task at work, do it for the glory of God. And when that person that stabbed you in the back at work because they're trying to put you down so they can exalt themselves, you say, you know what? I'm going to forgive that person, not because their behavior was good. It wasn't. It was bad. Not because it didn't hurt. It did. But I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to show them grace because I'm doing this for the glory of God. The Bible talks about that when we allow the Spirit to dictate our behavior and we manifest love to people who are behaving in an ungodly manner, that we're like heaping coals of fire on top of their head. That's not a fire of judgment. That is talking about there's something that begins to go on the inside. Fire is a chemical reaction. There's heat and there's oxygen and there's combustibility that goes on there. And all of a sudden something takes place that ordinarily wouldn't have taken place. And so when we begin to show love and instead of revenge, and when we start forgiving and manifesting that forgiveness and truly loving this person, we doing it for the glory of God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit begins to work and there's a spiritual catalyst that begins to take place, a dynamic that begins to take place. And I believe it won't be long until that person is forgiven. Now, I will tell you this, that the more people you are around, the more hurts you will experience. And the more hurts that you experience, the more you're going to have to tap in to the goodness and the grace of God in order to extend to them forgiveness. A lot of people approach this and they say, well, I tell you what, I am so sick and tired of being hurt by people that I don't even want to be around people. I want you to know that you will deprive yourself of great blessing while insulating yourself from any more hurt. In order to hug a person, you have to extend your arms, and in doing so, you expose yourself to attack. I want you to know that Jesus made himself extremely vulnerable because he loved us and he wanted to forgive us. You and I, in order to forgive, we need to do it for the name and the glory of God. And we got to realize we'll be making ourselves vulnerable, and there may be some people that avail themselves of that opportunity of vulnerability, and they will do further damage. But I will tell you that if they hurt you, God will heal you. God will heal you. There are so many examples from church history where people have been wounded, but instead of lashing out, instead of being unforgiving, they said, God, we're going to forgive them. We're going to forgive them so that that your name will be declared great. So in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen is being stoned, it said that he cried out, Father, forgive them. Let's see, I'm looking for it. And there it is. And he says, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they stoned Stephen, as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down, cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. I pray today that you'll have the same attitude. See you next
time
right here on
Refresh. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Done for you. He has done for you.